all of you who came out and celebrated at our church picnic this Labor Day weekend. 10 people gave public declarations outside in Snoqualmie Community Park of their faith in Christ. And this week, we want to share those stories with you. So here they are. Check them out.
It is so great to be out here with our church family. And really, today is going to be such a blessing because you're going to hear story after story of, yes, baptism, but what baptisms represent is life transformation. It really is the miracle that we get to experience today when God captures somebody's heart and before their church family, they want to share that with you. They want to celebrate with you. And in front of the whole community and everyone listening around us, they want to go, hey, I'm following Christ. But how did they get to that point? And so here up with me, I have Taylor and Naira. And what we're going to do is we're just going to share their stories first and then jump in the tank and baptize them. And when they come up from that water, man, let's celebrate together as a church. Sound good? All right. So Naira, this is Naira. And man, it was so good to see you and have you here today. Naira is actually from Brazil. Few things I learned about Brazil, she doesn't actually play soccer. They don't speak Spanish. I guess they speak Portuguese, which is very different. And you don't even drink coffee, right?
No.
But man, her story is one of God capturing her heart and growing up in a family that yes, went to church and you started that route of learning about who God was. But tell us what happened. Tell us right about when you hit that 8, 9 years old, because, I mean, that was a pretty defining moment in your life.
Yeah, so I grew up in Brazil in a Christian family. But when I was 8 years old, and my sisters 9 and 4, my father, he wasn't faithful to my mother. And after that, my mother, she couldn't take care of us anymore. So my sister and I, we started taking care of us by ourselves.
Okay, did you hear that? 8-year-old Naira taking care of her family by herself. 4-year-old daughter, right? Yes. Or sister, not daughter. Mm-hmm. And one more, let me just say this too. Naira's nervous to be up here because English isn't even your first language.
No.
So she's worried about, can you understand? You guys can understand her, right? You see, they're tracking with you. So here you are, you're taking care of your family, right? And keep going.
Yes, but hopefully I had my grandma, and she always taught me and my sister about Jesus and about his love, and in her simple way, because she's so simple that she learned how to read by reading the Bible, and I think it's amazing. And one of the verses she always told me, it's, your mother and father forsake you, God will receive you. And it's like about my life and about my parents' history.
Right. And her grandma played such a critical role. It was your grandma that brought you then to church the first time, mm-hmm. or 5, 6 years later. And it was so funny because Naira is telling me she actually was baptized because the pastor made her get baptized so she could teach Sunday school to the little kids. No idea what you're doing.
No.
Just learning as you're reading these stories to the kids.
Yes.
But how many of you know sometimes it just takes somebody that loves you to share the gospel in a simple way to make sense? And that's what happened with your grandma, right?
Yes, exactly. And 4 years later, I moved away to a different city to study in a university for 4 years. And it was very different, my experience with Jesus. And then when I decided to get baptized, I came to the United States, and here I am.
Now, I don't know if you caught this, right? She's ready to get baptized. University was easy for her.
Yes, oh, very easy.
Because how many people are you taking care of?
Oh, 2.
Yeah, still 2? Yeah, right.
Oh, yes, 2.
Yeah, not taking care of the rest of the family. She can actually focus on and your own relationship with God. And you found a great church there.
Yes.
And you actually were involved with the youth group, teaching the youth how to. But at this point, your grandma had led you to Christ, and you were in love with Christ, and you're ready to get baptized, and you move to Seattle.
Yes.
And she meets Taylor in Seattle, and but you weren't going to date Taylor.
Oh, no.
Because tell us why. I love this piece of it. Okay, youth, listen up. Some adults, listen up. Tell us why you're not going to date him.
So when I met Taylor on our second date, I told him, like, I love Jesus, and Jesus needs to be, like, the first in our relationship. So I'm just telling you because I don't want to date someone, like, non-Christian, and because I really want a serious relationship. And I told him, like, you're in or out. And because I didn't want to have the same relationship as my parents. I was like very sure, no, this is what I want. And I told him.
Right.
Yes.
If you want a relationship that you've never seen, you're going to do things that you haven't done before. And so just for a minute here, this is really cool. On this camera right here, we're actually live streaming this whole gathering. And you have family in Brazil who are watching you take this moment of faith. And so I think it's okay, guys, if... Yeah. We're just going to give Naira just 1 minute. And go ahead and talk to your family, because I know you're so thankful for them. And if you speak Portuguese, you're going to track. If not, you're with me. We're just going to let her have this moment. Is that good, church? All right. Go ahead and talk to your family. Right here. Now you're on the spot.
Yes. Ellen, eu sei que você está me assistindo. E eu sei que alguns dias depois, eu sei que a nossa avó irá assistir também. Eu sei que isso é muito importante para nós. E assim como você, o Carlos e toda a nossa família sabe que Deus não nos abandonou, porque nós conseguimos ver em todos os detalhes, por todas as dificuldades que nós passamos enquanto nós éramos crianças, adolescentes e até agora na nossa fase adulta. E sabemos o quão grata nós somos, porque Jesus conseguiu nos restaurar e tirar de toda aquela situação. E eu só queria dizer que eu amo vocês.
All right. Thank you for saying that. And church, thank you that someone from Brazil who's ready to continue growing her faith, she could find a church like Church on the Ridge where she could understand and rub shoulders with other believers and continue to grow in her faith. So you've been ready for 4 years to get baptized. And today's the day.
Yes.
All right. Let's go. Let's interview Taylor here. Give it up for Naira. Yeah. All right, Taylor, let me get your notes out here too. Such good stories. Taylor, I love his story because it's one of those classic stories of someone who kind of grew up knowing who Jesus was. And sometimes we describe these guys as, man, you like to hang around the cross, but not necessarily make Jesus Lord of your life. The concepts, yes, they make sense. But for you personally, I don't know, giving up control, that's a hard thing to do. But you've had a few defining moments in your life of really seeing Christ alive in somebody's life. Can you share that with us for our church?
Yeah, absolutely. One of them would have probably been things that my mother has dealt with in her life overall in our lives. Just a big sign of trust and faith and a big example of what it is to have trust and faith in the Lord. In a probably a month or two, a very short span of time, she lost her mother. She lost her father. Found an unfaithful husband after 25 years. Found out one of her children had an incurable disease and lost the best friend that she had at the time, too. So kind of the most to crush most people, crush anyone. And also raised three decent boys at that time, too. So
yeah, great kids.
But
what was it about it? So your mom is absolutely crushed with life. And what did you see in her?
She'd be the first one to say that it took some time to bounce back, to never lose faith, but just to be crushed down by that. And I don't know anyone who would not be. But just seeing the faith that she still had after that and the trust that she still had. And she's the first person to say, well, did you pray about it? Oops, I forgot to do that. So first person to always remind me to do that and to trust. So that's been really, really an awesome example in my life.
Man, I love that. Even though someone might be going through the worst, you can still exemplify Christ. And you don't know who you're affecting, especially your own family, as you see her walking through this with God. Man, that was an impression and inspiring you. And then tell us about your brother just in the last year and a half.
Yeah, my oldest brother has had difficulty with substance abuse for a long while now, but has always been a very, very passionate Christian, very passionate. First person to go to church, first person to go to suggest we go to church, and to go to three churches in a Sunday. Just bounce around every service you can find. And in the last year and a half, thanks to the strength that my other brother, Bran, and my mom kind of had through the Lord, got him into a rehab program, one that works, called the Dream Center down in Los Angeles. And yeah, it's been a year and a half, give or take, a year sober. And that's amazing.
Wow. So, and he gives all credit to God.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so absolutely. So here's Taylor. He's kind of grown up around this, right? He's seen it in his mom. He sees it in his brother. And then you meet Naira. And I call this, as I'm listening to his story, the fork in the road, right? She asked you the question, hey, are you in or not? And you actually had to take a week, you said, to ask, is this thing real to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did. Second date was not so casual after that. It was like, okay, I have to go home and think and be serious about this. So have a serious relationship and a relationship with Jesus too. And she's always reminded me to keep him number one and keep him centered in our lives. And that was when I knew I wanted her in my life. And I wanted that relationship with the both of them, but right, to be centered on Jesus. So,
and even today, you understand priorities now. You go, I get it. I like her a lot, but God is truly number one in my life right now. Mm-hmm. He's the first priority. And you don't know Taylor that well probably yet, but he's not a very public guy.
And well, not so much.
This is killing him, being up here talking in front of you guys.
How do you do this each week?
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's God, right? So the fact that he's up here and he's sharing, and here's the life change that happened in Taylor. These past few years, he's become more vocal about what he actually believes in. Talking to not only just the strangers, but his friends who he sees day in and day out, proclaiming, man, Jesus is Lord. He is changing my life and he's leading my life, and even finding ways to pray out loud for all the people you begin to encounter. And for a private guy, that's a huge step, but it's important.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so, yeah, we're so glad that you guys were able to come and share your stories of, man, growing up and choosing God and choosing this course for your life, and, man, having this moment where you had to go all in and you said, yes, Lord. And so now here in front of your church family, we're going to baptize you.
Woo.
All right. So let's baptize these guys.
How is it?
It's warm. All right, Naira. So in front of your church family here, in front of your family, your immediate family in Brazil, right? Do you have one question for you? Have you decided to make Jesus Lord of your life?
Yes.
All right. Then go ahead. It is my honor and my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, Taylor, I have one question for you. Again, in front of your church family and all the neighborhood and all the community, my one question is, have you decided to make Jesus Lord of your life?
Yes, I have.
Perfect. Then it's my honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Somebody said that when you baptize an adult, you baptize only half a life, because their life is already, you know, halfway gone. But when you baptize a child, you baptize an entire life. And these young people who are coming forward this morning, I'm so excited for them, because their lives can be focused on Christ from little on, and they can receive and learn the things that many of us did not experience as a young person when it's so important in our life. And so this morning, Stephen, tell us about what's happening with these students.
Yeah, we have such an awesome privilege and opportunity to baptize six students this morning. It's so cool. Yeah, give them a round of applause. And like my dad was saying, it's so cool to be able to baptize youth because they are committing their life publicly to Jesus and are going to spend the rest of their life showing everyone, hey, God is not only my Savior, but He is my Lord. And we're really it's just really cool. And the impact that you guys have on youth is huge. These youth wouldn't be here today without people here in the church pouring into them. And we just saw Naira get baptized, and she works in our preschool department. And knowing that she's baptized, I've got two nephews who are in that department, and she's going to have an impact on them. And then knowing that these guys are getting baptized and going to have impact on other people after people had impact on your life is just so, so cool. And we're excited. Pastor April, who are we baptizing first today?
Sasha Kochi. You ready? Okay, let's get in. It's not cold at all. So Sasha is going into eighth grade at Twin Falls. Super exciting. And Sasha, when you were in about fourth grade, your parents, Tom and Kat, wave, Tom and Kat, where are you at? Oh, they're over here. Perfect. Parents are ready. They came and told you that you guys were going to be moving to become full-time missionaries in Latvia. And I've heard some stories from you, from your siblings, from your parents. It was an incredible experience. But there was one specific moment where God really convicted your heart. He began to speak to you about something. And I would like you to share that with the crowd. What was God doing in that moment for you?
Yeah, so I remember one night, I was just laying in my bed, and I was looking up at my shelf, and then all of a sudden, just this thought came into my head, and it was, like, repeating itself. It was, like, love. Love people. Love God. Love yourself. Love everyone. And over time, I'd kind of realized how selfish I'd been in the past, and, like, to my classmates and my teachers, and I made a decision to just love everyone and to be nice. And so from that point on, I was nice to everyone. And when I came back here and went into sixth grade, I was nice to my teachers, or tried to be, and all the other kids. And so that's why I'm here today, being baptized. And it's not about me. It's about God.
So awesome. And I just want to say, I know that watching you, God's going to use you. Sometimes it's the easiest to go to another country and to share the love of God, but with the people you interact with on a daily basis, we all know sometimes our neighbors, our family members, it's challenging. But I believe that God has put a special call in your life to really be a light at your school at Twin Falls. And so Church on the Ridge, we're going to be supporting her and believing her. And Sasha, it is my honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, now we have the next coachee. This is John Coachee. Say hello, John.
Hi.
Hi. John is going into sixth grade. He also went to Latvia as a full-time missionary with his family. And John, I want to hear from you. What was that experience? What was going through your mind when your parents came to you saying, hey, we're going to be leaving this home, going to another country? What was kind of going through your head?
So I had just gone to a camp, SOAR camp, and the theme of the camp was God had set a race for you, Hebrews 12:1, and he just basically comforted me throughout the trip, and I just felt his spirit throughout the trip.
So good. And John, getting to know him is a lot like my personality, where we like to know the plans, we want to know the details, all the logistics. And so having to step out of your comfort zone into the unknown and not knowing what was going to happen in this other country, it was so cool to have that solidifying verse knowing, hey, you know what? God's plans and ways, his thoughts are higher than mine. I can trust him. And so knowing that and seeing how God moved in that trip in Latvia, you're about to go to Latvia again in just like, what, 3 or 4 days, and you're going to actually be missing out on the first few days of your first time in middle school. So what's kind of going through your head with that?
I'm still pretty nervous, like even more nervous than before, even though I'm not going long term. And I'm just going to remember that verse and just let it be a comfort to me the whole trip.
Yeah, and so this is a testimony for John today, a solidifying moment to look back on and know, man, I am making my life all about Jesus, that no matter what circumstances come your way, John, whatever difficulties, things you don't see or know, you're going to remember, man, that God is closer than your very breath. He's got greater plans than you could ever imagine. In Church on the Ridge, we are supporting you, and it is my honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Gonna jump.
Oh, good. We can still see your head. I was a little nervous. This is the youngest Coachee. I hope you guys are seeing the trend here that all of the siblings are getting baptized today, which is super cool. What a memorable moment for the family. But Sophie, you were probably about 4 or 5 when your parents said, "Hey, we're moving to Latvia. We're taking everything we have or what we can bring, maybe not everything, and gonna be full-time missionaries." So, were you excited? Were you nervous? What was going through your head at that age?
I was a little bit of both. I was kind of excited because we were going to a new home, but I was kind of nervous because I knew I'd miss my friends. And at some parts, I didn't actually realize I was doing ministry.
Because you were having so much fun, right? And what I love about that is at a young age, Sophie recognized that we kind of make ministry, like doing life with people, really complicated when it's actually really simple. It's just joining hands with the person next to you, getting to know them. And Sophie began to really come alive in that. But you came back from Latvia. You were in a message with Pastor Charlie, and he was talking about those next commitments, those next steps. And God began to really speak to you, lay something on your heart that kind of made you a little emotional. What was God sharing with you in that message?
Well, he was telling me to get baptized and move to the next step, but I didn't know if I was ready, and so I prayed, and I got encouraged, and
ready to be all in.
I was ready to be all in.
Yeah, and what I love about this is that Sophie, you have a heart for people. I watch that in you all the time. You're so compassionate, have such an inviting spirit. And one of the things Sophie said of how Church on the Ridge, how we can support her, is she said, "You guys better get ready with open arms for all the friends that I'm going to bring to Church on the Ridge." And I believe that is the call on your life to bring and invite. And with that same spirit that you had in Latvia, where it was so exciting, that's what you're going to bring here. So, Sophie, we're proud of you for being all in for Jesus. And it is my honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
So, the Coachee family is taking a team from our church back to Latvia in just a few days. Did you say no, you're not taking? You are. Well, come on up here. Sophie, John, Sasha, come on over here. And Tony, where are you at? Tony, our missions director. Oh, there you are. Grab a handheld from Stephen, please. And let's lay hands on them. Pastor Kevin, give them up. And let's lay hands on these guys. Would you pray with us as they take team? Some of their team is not here today for the picnic. But praise God, you've gotten a great team. Experienced missionaries.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. Tony?
All right. Oh, dear Jesus, we are so thankful that you have given the Coachee family to Church on the Ridge and everything that they are pouring out, not only to this community, but around the world. And they are about to embark with a team back to Latvia, and they are going to touch the lives of the women there, and they're going to put on a women's conference and truly pour in to the people in Latvia, Lord. And I pray blessings over this trip. I pray that you protect everybody going. You keep them safe from travels. But most importantly, Lord, that you are connecting them as a team. You are connecting them to the people that we're serving over there. And Lord, that you are watching over and you're laying the plans ahead of them. and that you are opening doors that you want opened. And Lord, that this everything that's going to happen on this trip is your will. And that they listen and obey what it is you're asking them to do. Lord, thank you again for this family and for this team that's going. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm really proud of you guys. Nice job.
I love you. So proud of you.
Thank you. Got it? Well, you're a little taller than me, but this is going to be good. Okay. Guys, this is Michaela Adams. Michaela, yeah, give it up for Michaela. She's just awesome. Michaela is going into her freshman year of high school at Mount Si, which is super exciting. But I have to tell you, when I first met Michaela, she was the most timid person I had ever met. And I don't know if you guys have gotten to know me, but I'm a little persistent in people and what I see in them. And Michaela would just like cling to her dad, Jeremy Adams, which Jeremy was a little bit more intimidating if you know who he is. So it kind of slowed my process down a little bit. But Michaela, from day one, I saw leadership written all over you, influence for the people you were going to encounter. And it's been such an honor to watch you just continue to say yes to Jesus, to step out of your comfort zone. And through the course of middle school and now entering high school, I think 75% of our youth group sometimes is made up of the people that Michaela has brought to youth group. So thank you for making youth group incredible. But today you're getting baptized and you've decided to be all in for Jesus. So kind of share with us what led you to this point.
Like you said, I've been shy for most of my life. Going to church, I would make excuses to even go to the services, like say I was sick or something. And I would always go to the adult services, like even though you're not really supposed to, I'd go with my parents. And they were like, oh, just go upstairs, like branch out, you'll be fine and all that. And then one day I was like, you know what, I'm just going to do it. Like I felt something, you know, I was like, I'm just going to go upstairs. And I loved it immediately. I felt like I was part of a second family. And I felt this love that I've never felt before. And I felt so included and welcomed that I wanted to keep going, and I wanted to start inviting other people and so they could feel the same love that I did. And I brought most of my friends, and like you said, they've came and they've enjoyed it. And now I just want to share that I'm all in for Jesus, and I want others to be as well.
So awesome. Give it up for Michaela. I believe God's going to use you as well as a light in your school. You're going to continue to reach people that, you know, we all have a specific story and we can't reach everyone. But if we each are going after the people that God assigned to us, we could reach everyone. And I believe that there are specific people attached to your name. And I've already seen you walk that out. And so I'm excited for this next step. And Church on the Ridge, we support you. And it is my honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
This feels really good. I bet you all are jealous.
It's hot up here.
It is hot. I have the privilege to baptize Jack Corgett. Jack is an amazing part of the tech team and has been serving there for a couple years, but you didn't always enjoy going to church, did you?
No, I thought it was boring before. We went to like, so before when I was like a kid, we kind of went on and off over the weekends to like kind of a slow church. And I thought it was boring. Because I was like five. So I didn't really enjoy going. And then, like, for a while, we just kind of stopped.
But then something happened.
Yes.
Tell us what happened.
And then my sister's friend invited us to Church on the Ridge. And then my mom's like, we're all going. So
was there any discussion, like any question? Do you guys want to go or what, or how to go?
What seat do I sit in the car?
It's like, yes, Mom. All right. And so y'all came. Y'all came to Church on the Ridge, and you found a place to serve in the production team, in youth.
Yeah.
You started serving in youth, and then we let you in the grown-ups, you know, move the knobs there, and you do an amazing job. And then you were connected with someone who was very important in your life, one of your small group leaders. Can you tell us about that?
Ben over there. Hi, Ben. I didn't really know who God was at the time. So he offered, he was on the tech team before, I should say that. And then he became one of my small group leaders. And I thought it was an opportunity to talk about sound, but it wasn't. It was an opportunity to talk about Jesus. And then one weekend, he was like, okay, let's go to pizza and let's talk about God. I'm like, okay. I was like, I don't really know who God is. And I was like, okay. He said, send you a few Bible verses per week if I can. And he started doing that, and that was really helpful, and kind of started reading those, and I started reading my Bible app on the phone every morning.
Wow! So you became hungry to learn about who God was, and you started kind of exploring that. And then tell us about kind of what was that low point that kind of where there was mounting pressure on you. I mean, yes, you guys remember there's pressure growing up. There is. And so, Jack, can you tell us what kind of pressure you're facing and what that caused you to do?
I think during school, really, junior year, my mom knows this. But I was under a ton of pressure. My grades were kind of low and I wasn't sure what to do. And one night just laying in my bed and I'm like, I need God. So I prayed to God. I'm like, I need you. I can't do this on my own. And yeah.
Wow. So that was the moment. Yeah, that's awesome. So in that moment, you said, God, I need you. You asked him to come into your life, to be the leader. And then now, what brings you to this moment today? Why do you want to get baptized today?
Because I know I can't really do life without God. It's not really possible. I wouldn't have the strength to do things. Went to God a few times today, being like, you know, it's kind of stressful right now. So, yeah, I think that's really what brings me to God is he is the power.
That's awesome. And so, Jack, are you ready to make Jesus the Lord of your life, the leader in all the areas of your life?
Yes.
Awesome. Well, Jack, because of your confession of faith, it is my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost.
Just when I got out, get back.
All right, we have Olivia Shanks, who's also going into her freshman year of high school at Mount Si. And I had the privilege of interning here before I came on at Church on the Ridge full time. And Owie was one of the first people I probably connected with for a student. And I got the opportunity to lead the girls' sixth grade small group. And I was blown away by the responses that this girl would give to the questions in that time. It was profound. I mean, I have watched her over the course of these last 3 years, almost 4 years, just walk through difficult moments, disappointing moments, and with such grace and strength where sometimes I look at you and I'm jealous of it because I want it. And so I'm so proud of you for making this decision today to get baptized and share with us what led you to be all in for Jesus.
Really, it was the adults and people around me, like my parents, and honestly, even the adults in my parents' community group. Church on the Ridge just does a really good job of connecting us as a whole, and through seeing my role models through this church, it really inspired me, and I just saw the light I saw in them, and all I wanted was that. So I started going to youth group very early, and the first time I went, there's just this energy that I can't get anywhere else. I know it's because of the Lord and through the love that my love for the Lord has just grown through church camps and just youth group in general. And it's, my faith has grown tremendously just because of my parents and such, such a great job they've done. And I love them so much and they're a part of the reason I'm here.
It's good. It's good. So
I love hearing that too, that parents, you have such a huge role in your child's development. And I can speak on behalf of the Shanks family too and say, wow, what an incredible job. But ultimately it comes down to they've stewarded your life well. They've pointed you in the direction of Jesus. And OE, I believe in such greatness in you. I can't wait to see you continue to grow in your relationship with God. And it's only going to grow from this moment. So Church on the Ridge, we're supporting you. And that was a sign from the Lord. This is the moment. It is my honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
So I got Benjamin Beamskaggs up here, and it's so cool because when I was youth pastor, you were one of our youth leaders, and you had Jack, and technically Jack got baptized before you.
Yeah, thanks for making me cry, by the way, dude. I appreciate that.
Here's what I love about Benjamin. He would say in front of everybody here, growing up, you would, beyond your wildest dreams, ever be defined as a Christian or even somebody with a strong faith.
Yeah.
But you're ready to get baptized. And so tell us a bit about that. You grew up kind of knowing Jesus,
yeah.
and then you really had no influence in your life.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, I went to church as a kid. Didn't like going. Cried on my way, like grabbing the door frame on the way to Sunday school. Wasn't
Not
a fan.
Not because it was impactful.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It never really connected to me. I always saw it as traditional and it never really connected. But I saw my brothers connecting in a youth program, which is why I was so excited to join the youth program. Right before I was going to join that, or, you know, shortly before I was going to join that, my parents got divorced, and then we didn't go to that church anymore. I didn't go to that church anymore. I didn't like it anyways. Why would I go?
So we saw six youth up here getting baptized who are all in for Christ, and your teenage years really had no significant Christian influence in your life.
No, yeah.
And in fact, you actually made decisions to even widen that gap a bit more.
Yeah, from, you know, 14 to 18, I'm making decisions that I shouldn't be making at that time and doing things that I ought not to do at that age and really furthering that gap. But I always had a spirituality. I just had no strong Christian influence in my life at the time.
Something was missing.
Yeah, something was not there.
And this is what I love about Benjamin. And how many of you can relate to this? You're 18, you're about to go to college, and you go, if I want to achieve something in life and I keep going the way I'm going, I'm not going to achieve it.
Yeah.
And so, fresh start. We're going into college. Nobody knows you. You can be whoever you want to be.
Yeah.
Like, who are you going to be in college? And tell us about your first day on campus.
First day on campus, I met my future wife. Didn't know that at
Boom.
The time, but I met her. And 2 months later, we started dating. And whenever we started dating, she was very particular in that she would not lead my faith. My faith would be my own. Otherwise, there would be no foundation to it. So she would always invite me, you know, would you like to go to church? Would you like to do that? I was like, yeah, I would. That would be nice. And so we did that for a few months until she invited me back home.
Right, your Houston moment. And what I love about this is if you can talk someone into faith, someone else can talk them out of faith. This had to be Benjamin's decision, and Megan wasn't going to make him be a Christian, but she invited you and kept pointing you to the real answer, which was Jesus.
Yeah.
And you had your Houston moment, so picture this. He's going back to Houston to meet Megan's family for the first time. Are they here? Are they here?
Janice is here, my mother-in-law.
Yeah. So she's right here, and first time you've met any of her family, they're bringing you to church. This one's not an option.
No, this one was not an option. We're going to go to church.
Because that's what right.
I'm a guest. I can't drive. I'm going to go to church.
So imagine in church with the family for the first time.
Yeah.
In the middle of worship, and you connect with the Lord through worship. You're a music guy.
Yeah, I've always had a connection to music, and God knew that. And so he was like, hey, here's worship. Have fun with that.
Tell him what happened.
And during worship, I just felt this arm come around me. And God just spoke to me saying, I got you. And I broke down right in front of her family, in front of her home church. Never met any of them before. Just
crying.
Broke down crying. So it's not abnormal for me to cry like when Jack gets baptized or anything. Just crying. You know, why not? And that was the moment that I chose, okay, I'm going to follow this path.
Wow. And here's the cool thing. He started following, and you, as a follower,
yeah,
found yourself growing and not growing when you're with a good community.
Yes.
So when you moved to Seattle area, you moved to Issaquah, mm-hmm. you're working at T-Mobile right next to the church.
Yeah.
And you don't know it's a church, right? We're so thankful for a new building. We can put a sign up.
Yeah.
Hey-o, right? And as you're there, you saw a guitar player.
Yeah. I saw somebody, didn't know who. I was leaving work. I went around the backside that day, and I saw somebody holding a guitar walking into an office building. I was like, oh, obviously it's a recording studio. That's what I've been looking for. So it's a recording studio. No, it's a church. I went home and looked it up. I was like, oh, how convenient. I've also been looking for a church. That's even better. So I decided to go to church the next weekend. And I think, what was it, 3 weeks later, I was behind the soundboard.
Yeah.
Just decided to say yes to serving. And it was really great.
And here's the great thing about serving on the soundboard. He heard the message three times yeah. for a season, four times, every yeah. single week. Just same message. Yep. But that's what you needed.
It's what I needed at the time.
It's what
it
you
was
needed.
Really good.
So let me just ask you this one last question, and then we'll get Billy up here. These first steps can be difficult. And yep. this has kind of been a pattern in your own life, right? When God calls you to do something,
yeah.
you almost drag. There's this nervousness. There's this, and that really is hard, guys. You take the first step. As soon as you overcome that, just in like 15 seconds, tell us about that first step in your experience.
Yeah, so it was always a challenge for me to say yes. It was the first time I was decided to go to church. That was difficult to say yes. First time I chose to serve, that was really difficult to say yes. First time God asked me to do something, that was really difficult to say yes. And when God asked me to tithe, that was really difficult to say yes. I was like, that was my money, though.
Right.
But as soon as I said yes, God immediately showed his faithfulness in that, and it was incredible.
So baptism.
Yes.
Exactly. That's the answer he was yeah. looking for. But it's been a few years, and you just have to overcome those. And he's mm-hmm. been faithful before. He's going to be faithful today.
Yeah.
So we're excited to baptize you. Before we jump in the water,
yeah.
let's have Billy come up. Give it up for Benjamin. So, Billy here, local Snoqualmie Valley man, grew up in this area, and tell us about what it was like before anything.
Yeah, like Kevin said, I grew up in this area, early 60s, and in this area where we stand, where the church is, there was nothing but power lines. So, you know, as growing up, we all had dirt bikes and four-wheel drives, and I heard my friends would bring kegs of beer up here and have keggers. Actually, the keg was normally in my truck.
So Billy, your man, ran the town, if you could call it a town, quarterback of the football team, finding ways to fit in, doing what really culture told you to do to fit in and get friends and build that community. But it didn't bring you to the place you wanted to be.
No, you know, most of families around here work for Weyerhaeuser. My family was in a different business, so to fit in, you know, I wanted to be part of the crowd. And, you know, North Bend, Snoqualmie, and Falls City was considered the valley, so we didn't really consider it separate. We had friends in every area. And, you know, back then, drinking was a big part of growing up, and I wanted to be part of the group. And, you know, I fit in well.
Right. So. Right. And then you met a lumberjack of all people, right? And you had that moment. Tell us about that moment.
Yeah, you know, to back it up, I got dependent on booze. It took me to a place where, you know, I couldn't go home, I couldn't go to work, I couldn't stop drinking, and booze wasn't working. And I was at that helpless, hopeless place that I didn't know what to do with my life. And for whatever reason, I can't explain it, I ended up in front of a church and walked in on a Wednesday night, sunshiny, and I remember this guy who was a logger from his background, stopped at what he was doing at this church and came over and put his hand on my shoulder and said, "Son, I think you're in the right place. I hope you hear something that gets you back here tomorrow." And again, I can't explain other than I heard a word prior to walking in that church. I heard a voice that said, "Enough is enough." And I got up that next morning and did something I'd done for the last 25 years and said, I'm not going to drink today.
Wow.
And I didn't realize it, but the next day I realized the day before I didn't take a drink. And it was a miracle.
Yeah. And that was that moment when you said, hey, I'm going to give this Jesus a try.
Yeah.
And Bill, let me ask you this, because this is so... Man, when I asked you this question, it really hit home. But what would happen if you had not responded in that moment?
That was 16 years ago. And I know without a doubt, I wouldn't be standing here today. I had doctors telling me, parents telling me if I didn't quit drinking, I would die.
Oh, thanks.
They want to hear you, not me.
And I knew that. I knew for several years that what my problem was, and it was the only thing I knew to run to for comfort. And so I had given up. I had no hope. And this individual, I remember telling him that how could my life get worse than not being able to go home, not being able to go to work. I got fired from the family business that I helped start. They didn't want me around. Couldn't stay sober, and booze wasn't working. How could my life get worse? And this guy told me, he goes, it will get worse. If you do not change one thing, which is everything, you won't be able to do that without God in your life.
Wow.
And it just all of a sudden, it made a lot of sense to me that I heard the words, God was doing for them what they could not do for themselves. And I surrendered.
Wow. I mean, and today, 5 grandkids.
4, one on the way.
One on the way. Okay, we count them as a kid. And just what, last night, you're holding your 3-year-old, your 1-year-old's running around, and you're going, this is my family. You would have missed all of that. The games, the family, these last 60, all of it. But because you made that decision and you responded, God did something with your life. And so Bill today is, you ask him what's different, he cares about people. And you actually ask for help sometimes, and you're able to be a teachable person. And man, God is molding you into the man that he's always planned for you to be. And it's just incredible to hear the life change and the difference.
That is a difference. You know, it was more important to me to find out, you know, because when the booze went away, it was a miracle. But I realized over a long period of time, I had developed learned behaviors, dysfunctional behavior, and I wanted more. I wanted to inject myself into my kids' life. And as I said before, I kept getting in the way of what God had planned for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I contemplated doing this baptism, but it was a couple of months ago, Sandy Salmon did a sermon, and she talked about Caleb, their youngest child, doing it for himself. And
it's good.
I got a fighting chance to finish strong, mm-hmm. putting Christ in my life, first and foremost. And like Kevin said, last night we had game night. All my kids that were in the country were over there, were playing games. And I got up this morning. They stayed overnight. My 3-year-old grandson sitting on my lap watching Cars. And the 1-year-old's giving me high fives and saying, Papa. I'm sitting there. Tears of joy.
Yeah.
Thinking, out that window where I was at, I would have missed out on all this.
Yeah.
You know? I got a fighting chance today. I want to be a better father. And Charlie said it in the service the week before, you know, God first, wife second, family third, and everything else is next. And, you know, I can say that out my mouth and walk out of here. But if I don't walk that walk, and I struggle with that part of it, and I do know I got a better opportunity. I got people put into my life that I shared some things, and I heard how they dealt with it. And I want what they have.
Yeah.
And this is it. This is it. And, you know, I'm pretty fortunate what I have today. And I've been promised in the manual, that 5-letter manual of life, the Bible, that the best is still ahead of me.
That's good.
And I can't imagine sitting in there in my front room this morning, tears streaming down my eyes, that it's going to get better versus thinking my life couldn't get worse where I was at.
Wow.
Man, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. God is a God of more, and he has more for you, more for all of us. So, and I love that Billy said, hey, everybody here has a chance for that freedom. And so we're going to baptize these two guys. And man, as we baptize them, just remember, we are celebrating with them life change. But that same spirit that's moving in every single one of these baptisms today moves into everyone who calls himself a believer. So let's celebrate together.
Here we go.
All right, Benjamin's up first. One question for you, Benjamin. It's been a journey, but here you are in front of your friends and family. Do you decide today to make Christ Lord and Savior of your life?
Yes.
All right, then it's my honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Careful, it's slippery.
Hi, Billy. We got a lot of people pulling for you right now.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you for sharing your story this morning. So here you are in your community, your old stomping ground, your current stomping ground as well. In front of your church family and everyone listening, one question for you. Have you decided to make Jesus Lord and Savior of your life?
Yay, God.
Yay, God. All right, Billy, then it's my honor and privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Father, I thank you, God, that... God, I thank you that you're a God who loves people. God, you took me out of the pit. You took Billy out of the pit. God, you put our feet upon a rock. And I ask, Lord, that, God, you would do that for every home in this community. God, every person would hear and experience the love and the life of Christ Jesus and live out their God-given purpose and join a family, God, who loves them and cares for them and helps us out of our fears. In Jesus' name, amen.